In almost every case in the New Testament, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, where a man became a Christian, there was some other believer came and told him the story. You will remember when we were studying in chapter 8 in the book of Acts, we were studying about the Ethiopian. It was Philip that ran near to that chariot and who told him about the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we were studying now, as we have been, about Saul the Pharisee and about his conversion, there is very little of the human element in it at this point. Nobody is sent as the messenger. This is something that God does in the heart of Saul himself. And this is very interesting to us. This doesn't mean there hasn't been a human element in this whole experience, because you and I will remember what has been written so far in the book of Acts concerning Saul. I suppose that he never in his lifetime ever got over what he saw when he saw Stephen stoned to death, and when he looking at Stephen and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And then when he heard Stephen lifting up his face into heaven, "I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of God." That must have made a profound impression on the Apostle Paul. And then, too, when he was taking those Christians and putting them in prison, chances are there was a meekness and a quietness and a yieldedness on their part. The chances are they didn't hate him, they didn't fight, and that must have gotten to his heart. We haven't spent a great deal of time in talking about Saul. Maybe sometime we will spend time just studying about him. But just now let me mention to you, this was a good man. This was a man who afterwards could say that he had served God with a clear conscience from his forefathers. He was wrong, but he was sincere. If you want to give any man credit for being sincere and for being zealous, this man was sincere and zealous. He was wrong, it's true, but he was a good man who was wrong, and they're the worst kind, you know. They have all the testimony of their own conscience that they mean right and they mean well and they do good, and sometimes they're not really selfish. Sometimes they're not really proud. They're just simply wrong, and this man was. This brings to our mind something that we have to notice. In dealing with the Ethiopian, the problem to overcome was ignorance, and it was done by sending a man to teach him. But when you come to Saul, the problem is not ignorance, it's prejudice. This man is deliberately, in his heart and mind, prejudiced against the Christians. And it's worthy of note, nobody went to talk to him. Now, I'm saying already, Stephen died in front of him. These other disciples were taken into prison by him, but nobody directly talked to him. The Lord met him on the way. That light shone from heaven. That voice came from heaven. And these are the things that have happened to Saul. But the story isn't all through. We've studied in the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the 9th chapter, and we've gone through the first 9 verses of the 9th chapter. And we have Saul stricken blind, and 3 days in which time he was without sight, neither did eat nor drink. This took us down through verse 9. But that's not the whole story. And now in the 10th verse, we're going to find where the human element, so to speak, a human participation actually occurred in the whole situation. It's the story how God sent a certain man to baptize Paul. And now let us read this. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 10, "There was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight." Now, I could go right on and read some more, but I want to stop there for a moment. You and I need to keep something in mind. What we're reading about, which is showing to us exactly what happened back in those days and that made out of Saul the Pharisee the strong apostle. I want you to notice how little attention is being paid to what was in the mind. There isn't any argument. This is not some big discussion. Something's actually happening, but I want you to notice. This isn't happening like the opening of the flowers and the singing of the birds and the growing of the grass and the setting of the evening sun and the glory of the morning sunrise. This is not that kind of thing that happened. Did you notice what things happened? The Lord spoke to Ananias in a vision. Well, that's right out of us right away. The moment you start talking about the Lord speaking to a man in a vision, you're a long piece away from the average person who'll read this book. But this is the truth, and this is what we need to keep in mind. The Lord personally dealt with Ananias, person to person. Ananias. And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise," and he gave him specific instructions. "Go into a street which is called Straight," that was the name of the street. "Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." So this messenger tells Ananias in the vision that Saul has already seen him coming, and he's to go and fill this out. And then Ananias, I'm reading in verse 13, this is in chapter 9, the book of Acts. "Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on him." Now, I'm sure that Ananias didn't mean anything that would be irreverent. I'm sure Ananias was not wanting to be disobedient. But Ananias is simply expressing the confusion he feels in his own spirit. God's saying, "I want you to go and hunt out this man, Saul of Tarsus. He's praying, and I want you to go and talk to him." Ananias said, "Lord, that man is dangerous. He's over here with authority to arrest people. If I go and identify myself as a Christian, he's liable to arrest me and take him away with him. He hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." But the Lord said unto him, in this vision, you see, this is going on. The Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, that you go on and do what I tell you. Just you go and perform what I ask you to do. For he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." This is what is told Ananias. "You go to that man. He's going to be my servant, and I'm going to show him what he's got to suffer, because he's going to do a great work for me." Now verse 17, "And Ananias went his way." Do you notice that again? No argument. No further argument. He had expressed his doubt. He had made it clear that so far as he was concerned, he was surprised and confused with the instruction to go over and talk to that man, because that was a dangerous thing to do. But when the Lord made it clear that he knew exactly what he was doing, and Ananias had it clearly in mind this was exactly what the Lord wanted him to do, he went his way just like that. No further explanation, no description. Went his way, entered into the house, just walked right into the situation, and putting his hands on him, walked right up to Paul, treated him just this way, said, "Brother Saul." Now, isn't that interesting? You know, he had told the Lord that this man Saul was a dangerous man. Now he says, "Brother Saul." Why? Because when the Lord told him that this man Saul belonged to him, and that he was going to use him, that he was going to make him a messenger of his and a worker of his, that's exactly where Ananias stood. And Ananias knew right away that this man belonged to him. When Saul belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ and Ananias belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ, they belonged to each other. And so he starts his talk. "Brother Saul." There's no questioning. There's no argument. There's no investigation. He has his guidance from the Lord. "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Just like that. Makes this announcement to him. "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, the one that you saw on the road up here, that one, sent me, and he wants me now, here with you, to do such as I will, and you're going to get your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, which is his sight returned. And he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, which means he ate food, he was strengthened. Just as simple as that. Whole situation had, you might say, moved on. The Apostle Paul had been stricken blind. For 3 days he was there, doubtless wondering in himself, praying in himself about all these things. And then the Lord Jesus himself, as it were, took charge, sent Ananias, and said, I want you to go there. I've shown him in a vision that you're coming. He won't be surprised to see you. I want you to go there, and I want you to baptize him. And now he'll receive his sight, and I want you to let him know that he belongs now and that he's in with this group. And this is what happened. When you think about Ananias, he had his natural fears about Paul. He was shrank from doing anything about it because he knew that was a dangerous man. But the Lord told him to go. When he had it clear in his mind, the Lord told him to go, he went. And he went without any argument, and he went without any raking over all his doubts and fears. He didn't start asking Paul whether or not Paul was going to be, or Saul was going to be careful, whether or not Saul was going to be kind to him, whether or not Saul would excuse him for his part in it. He didn't ask him a thing about that. He started in right in, Brother Saul, the Lord, the one that appeared unto thee by the way, he sent me. And I am to come to do this thing. And immediately there fell from Saul's eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized, and when he had eaten some food, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Here again we can see and feel the marvelous hand of God upon his people. Our God and Heavenly Father, lay thy hand upon us, each one of us in our own way. Do for us more than we can ask or think. Show us the things of thyself. May the reality of the things of God and the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ, the reality of the things of the Holy Spirit, come very definitely to us, that we might be found obedient, serving thee in the Lord. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.